Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Bing, bong, bing, bong, bing, bong, bing, bong.
It's adjustable time, everybody. Hello.
Yeah, hello.
How are you?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm all right. How are you?
Why do you always insist on cracking open a new beverage every time we start a podcast?
It's a ritual. And what are our lives if nothing but a series of repetitive rituals until we die?
I
did have a big dessert though, so I'm like, oh, my guts.
Oh, no. Can I have a drink of your drink?
No.
Oh, it looks delicious.
Do you want some?
Yes, I do. Thank you very much.
Things is what Claire does. She'll open a drink and then drink a third of it and then go, I think I'm just going to leave this somewhere in the house, somewhere secret.
I'm sorry I don't just open my throat and pour a drink down. Okay, so James has the ability to drink a drink literally in 10 seconds flat. He drinks it like someone is about to steal it immediately.
Like just happened?
Yeah. True. No, but I mean, really, you will drink a can of kombucha in less than 10 seconds and it kind of blows my mind. I watch you and other people savor that. You do this with dessert as well.
Yeah.
Really fancy desserts. And that's why I hate sharing dessert with you, even though I only want a couple of spoonfuls. But I want to eat it slowly and savor it. And instead, you're just eating it away like you're like a horse at a trough.
It's going to disappear regardless, Claire. Let's just bloody get on with it. Speaking
yeah, exactly.
of getting on with it. This is suggestible, the show where we're like, hey, listen to us talk about this thing that we watched, read, or listened, or whatever.
Correct. And or occasionally ate.
Occasionally
yes, ate. Yes, I'm Claire Jane Cyril. So we are married, and it's our favorite time of the week. Suggestible.
Is it?
Time. Oh, it's my favorite time.
Wow.
This is awkward.
You live a terrible existence.
Yeah, currently stuck in this house with you, where for anyone who's listening for the very first time, we are stuck in Melbourne lockdown, and actually we've surpassed all the other places in the world. We are now living currently in the longest lockdown. Yay!
Hopefully only for a few more weeks though.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know anymore.
It's good because I have to see The Eternals in cinemas, Claire, in early November.
Oh, I see.
I already missed the last Marvel movie. I can't miss
one. I know. Gosh, I think your brain will explode.
Still haven't seen it. Anyway, do you want to go first or would you like me to go first?
I would love to go first.
Let's do it.
Excellent. All right. So my first recommendation is a memoir and also an episode of my podcast, Taunts.
Oh, typical.
Which is very narcissistic. However, I think it's worth it. So the memoir is called All About Eve and it's written by Dr. Eve Reese. Now, they are a historian with La Trobe University and they also are a podcaster and a writer of many important academic texts and a lecturer too as well and a novelist, well, a memoirist.
Sure.
So Eve has only recently released this memoir and it tracks their journey to realizing their transgender identity, which I find so interesting. Also, Eve's just so raw and open and honest about it. The memoir is peppered with stories from history of trans people and particularly trans masculine people.
Right, right.
Looks at Indigenous cultures and their approach to trans and gender and identity. And
because there seems to be a more of an understanding in a lot of Indigenous cultures, although there what has been in the past.
Yeah, that's what Eve was talking about, that there has been, yeah, and there have been words in Indigenous languages that weren't really present in the English language. And it is thought that potentially colonization actually caused a lot of the transphobia and this kind of idea that there are only the two genders, male and female.
Mm.
They talk about pronouns as well and coming to find your pronoun and what it meant for them to see Elliot Page come out as well, which I thought was really interesting. Anyway, it was an amazing chat and also because I think some of this stuff for people who've never had to kind of explore their gender or sexuality before because it kind of fits into that heteronormative
It's just
stuff,
kind of
– it's the main mainstream, I guess, or they've just never really gone deeply into themselves in that way. I think this book is so helpful for that. because it has kind of peppered in it a lot of education as well as really personal stories. So anyway, it's called All About Eve, and I also interview Eve this week on Tonts. It dropped today.
Terrific.
Yay. So that's a recommendation from me.
Please check it out if you can. I've got that lined up in my podcast feed ready to go.
Thanks, mate.
I will be giving that. I won't be reading the book because books are for nerds, but I will be checking that particular thing out.
Cool.
Because you do a great podcast. And here's something I teased that I was going to watch.
Give me some more. Also,
everything's linked below that we talk about. Okay. I've got a couple of Netflix shows I want to talk about this week. I'm going to start with Squid Game, which is a South Korean 9-episode televisual series written and directed by Hwang Dong-hyuk. And it stars Lee Jung-jae, Park Hae-soo, and Wee Ha-joon. Apologies for my Australian pronunciation of things. So basically what it is, 456 people who are all struggling financially one way or another, mountains of debt, you know, because they're investment bankers or, you know, they're on, you know, more of a lower rung on society, but the debt that they have is obviously equally crippling for them as it would be somebody who's, you know what I'm talking about, debt, right? They're invited to.
He doesn't know what he's talking about. Just heads up.
I don't know.
I do all the finances.
I don't know what I'm talking about. But I'm saying the people listening know what I'm talking about. So right. They're invited to play in a mysterious survival competition, competing in a series of traditional children's games, but with deadly twists. They risk their lives for what is the equivalent of $38 million, right? So if you've ever seen like The Hunger Games, if you've ever seen Battle Royale, if you've ever seen like The Game of Marbles when you're a child, something like that. It's basically all these competitors go in, there's a series of games happen, but each one is actually like deadly. Like it kills like dozens of people each time around. And each time someone is eliminated, more money pours into like the pool of money, right? Until there is only, you know, your few people left to surviving at the very end. And the whole thing, the whole idea is it's basically it's for the rich to observe and go, oh, look at all this. Look at these in crazy games.
Oh,
and they bet on it and whatever. You know, it's about the class system and et cetera and so forth.
It looks horrifying.
Oh, it's horrifying, yeah. But at the same time, it's very camp and over the top, like a lot of the time. It's very, very violent. Like it's uplifting in moments because it shows you like the best of the human spirit and that. It's also very depressing at other times because ultimately, you know, a lot of the people that you are following just kind of get whittled away as it goes, and you see people who end up helping each other and people end up turning on each other, and, you know, and it's also like there's a moment where where they realize that if anybody dies at any point while they're staying in this facility, that counts towards the tally. So it's like, do they all start murdering each other and things like that. So it's terrific. It's also got English dubs if you are interested, but it also it's obviously in Korean also, and you can watch it subtitled. Or if you speak Korean, I loved it. I thought it was like really compelling and just kind of edge of your seat, and you do get that sense of anxiety when the next game is coming. And when they walk into the game, you also, as the viewer, don't know what it is. So you find out at the same time as them. And as this is unfolding, like you're following your main people in the game, and there's also a police officer who's trying to work his way on the inside and figure out like what is going on, like who are these people, how this is happening, how long it's been happening for, and everybody's masked up, so you don't really know kind of what's going on or who is behind it the entire time. I loved it. It's terrific. It's so grim and violent, but it's not like – it's more like riddled with bullets, like blood splatter than like – watching people get like beheaded and
cool. I'm really
like that.
Enjoying this conversation.
Yeah, just so you know. It's about the class system, Claire.
So it's kind of like metaphor. The Hunger Games.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it reminds me of another book that I read, and I think it was by Robin Klein when I was a kid. I was really into those kind of teen books where they talked about dystopian futures.
Yeah.
But there was one where these kids were kind of adopted or
it's that
taken.
Alien planet thing.
Yeah, I talked about this before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And multiple times.
Oh, okay. I have very little memory left in my brain. Anyway, so you've heard – have I talked to this on the show before?
Maybe. It doesn't matter.
Anyway.
Not everybody hears everything.
And they're forced to do all these acrobatics, and you think that they're on an alien planet. They kind of get kidnapped and taken away.
Yeah.
And it turns out they're just like really rich people who just want to watch people or kids particularly do death-defying
acts. Is it
called
The Enemies?
Maybe.
Is it called Halfway Across the Galaxy and Turn Left?
No.
Is it called Hating Alison Ashley?
No.
I have read Hating Alison Ashley, actually. Have you read Hating Alison Ashley?
I have. I love that. I did a monologue of from Hating Alison Ashley for a drama club that I used to belong to when I was 13.
That's very
and
typical.
And I was great at it.
I bet you were. Did you enjoy the Delta Goodrum movie from maybe 2003, whenever it came out?
No, I didn't watch it because I read that book cover to cover.
I've read it multiple times actually as well, yeah.
Hating Alison Ashley? Yeah. Have you really?
I've read it, yeah, I've read it heaps of times.
How come you liked it so much?
I think it was one of those books that was recommended, like, oh, that you had to read in primary school. Okay. Because it's also about a kid in grade six, which is probably when I read it or whatever.
And it's also about friendship.
And it's about the class divide. And it's about totally. Delta Goodrum. But the problem with the movie I saw was they bump it up to high school and the book is set
in primary school.
In primary school,
and
yeah.
And it has to be in that it's in a very specific time period in grade six. It's sort yeah. of, it's too innocent for high school.
Yeah.
It sort of walks that line. And I loved it because it talks about kind of weight and body issues as well as a kid. Yeah. And I really had a lot
and
of
and she's from a family that she kind of hates.
Yeah, yeah. And she looks perfect on the outside, but turns out.
Maybe she's got her own something. Yeah. Something.
It's a beautiful, if you've got kids who are 11 and 12, probably from about nine, right?
Yeah, I would say 12, so, yeah.
I'd say it's a really, it's just a gorgeous
book. It's a 2005 book. Movie, yeah,
yeah. Another book that I loved and I don't know if it holds up is called Fat Chance. And oh, yeah. That is an amazing book too, like a tween book all about coming to terms with who you are and loving yourself in your own skin and all of those kinds of things where when you're a tween, that's real hard stuff.
Is it Fat Chance beating the odds against sugar processed food and something, something?
No, it's a novel. No, it's a novel. It's called Fat Chance, and now I can't remember the author.
Is it Fat Chance, A Hidden Truth About Sugar, Obesity?
No, it's about, it's a tween novel. Good God. It's like, it's kind of like Hating
Is
Alison
it Fat
Ashley.
Chance, The Bitter Truth About Sugar?
Can you stop saying that?
There's a lot of books called Fat Chance is what
All
I'm
right.
saying.
Okay, well, no.
Is
it's
it Fat Chance Cookbook?
Can you just, did you type in novel? God, you're so freaking annoying. Sometimes.
I would argue that I'm the best person who ever
yeah,
lived.
Yeah, there
it's
it is.
It's by Newman. Someone? No, it's by Leslie yeah. Newman. Leslie Newman.
Yes, correct. Exactly. Leslie Newman.
I would have won the Parents' Choice Silver Medal in 1994 and was awarded the finalist in the Iowa Teen Award in 1997.
Yeah, and I have no idea if it still holds up, but it was definitely about
I'm sure it's a bit problematic. People are like, bloody, you'd never bloody get away with that now too.
Yeah, there's probably some problematic things in it, but it really spoke to me at the time and I really enjoyed it.
Great.
Great, and looking for a brandy as well.
So oh, yeah, good. Of course. So Squid Game, though. Check it out.
All right.
If you like grim.
Can I handle it? I feel
nah,
like I couldn't.
You couldn't.
No, I don't think I could. I couldn't even handle that one that was it a Korean movie about and Tilda Swinton? Is that her name?
Oh, you're talking about
what's that one?
You're talking about one Snowpiercer.
No, not so.
Oh, Okja.
Okja.
Same director.
Yes.
Yeah.
It reminded, it looked, that's.
Yeah, it's got that vibe.
It had that same vibe. Well,
maybe that's like a South Korean thing.
Yeah,
I don't
it's
know.
Kind of like a, it has kind of social commentary within it and it's kind of surreal.
He did the one and then the house and the servants.
Oh, that
and
won
whatever.
A million awards.
Yeah,
that was so
was
good,
really good.
That you picked to be like really excellent.
I did. Well, it was already when I picked it. I mean, a bunch of people were like, this is really good. And then I saw it and said, this is actually really good, actually.
What was
Some
that
people
movie?
Were upset that it beat The Joker for best movie
what
or whatever.
What movie was it? Probably.
Parasite.
Parasite. There we go. We got there. All right. Can we leave the world of surrealism
oh my God.
And tween novels?
I'm going to bring you back to the grimmest thing you've ever heard in your life. It's
all right,
a grim week
it's
for
my
me.
My turn first.
I know. So you get out your
Dear
fun,
God.
Your fun
all right,
thing
so this
about.
This is a lovely thing.
Ah, tea towels. Yeah, here we go.
No, it's not a tea. Well, it is a tea towel, but no.
No, it's not a tea. Well, it is technically a tea towel.
All right. But I think you really like this too. You like art?
I don't like anything.
Okay. So I was on the old Instagrams the other day because where else am I going? I'm on the Instagrams. And this popped up from someone that I follow. It's a recipe book called Recipes with Friends. Now, it's by Alice Orr. And Alice is a Melbourne-based artist and designer who draws for business and pleasure. Her cookbook was done during lockdown last year, and she basically gathered recipes from friends near and far that were close to their heart and very tried and tested. But because she's a really cool artist, she kind of included each recipe with a really funny kind of drawing that she's done.
Mm.
And it's really delightful. Her art in general is really cool. I went on a deep dive. I think you'd really like it. It's really bright and fun. Incorporates her love of food and color and pattern and collage. And she works with paper and also with pixels, so digitally, to create her designs. And she's done two real big published books, one called The Art of Cake and another one called Still Life Drawing. But this one is – this recipe book with friends is self-published.
Oh, that's very self-published. It looks self-bound.
Yeah, but it is.
It looks like she bound it at the Office Works.
Yeah, but it, I know. But
not in a bad way, Claire.
Now, just flip through that, James.
Why don't you flip
because
through
I think it's really cute. And I'll show you some of these characters.
Oh, it's got little drawings.
Aren't they
and
cool?
Stuff.
Like, yeah. Look at this. And it comes with a tea towel. So I know sometimes listeners say to me, Claire, I need to get a present for a friend of mine. What should I get? Well, if you have a person in your life for Christmas who likes cooking and this kind of stuff, it's such a cool book. Each recipe
it
comes
does
with
feel
a little
like unique and handcrafted as well.
Doesn't it? And yeah. Each like she has these little characters.
It's got a mouse sleeping on a potato or something.
It does. So like for instance, it's got like Japanese fried rice and there's like a little shiitake mushroom with a little
knife. It's a mouse on a souffle.
Yeah, correct. Exactly.
There's a fish wrapped in spaghetti.
Correct. There's a little happy-looking prawn with a little bow tie and then like a sexy-looking pig and a cute little potato with like a...
Is that sexy?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
Chicken stirring a casserole.
That's very sexy eggplant there. Look
Where's
at that.
The eggplant?
Posing.
Yeah, that's my jam.
That's your sexy jam, eggplant. The sexy eggplant. It's just there's some really cute little characters. She does really good caricatures. And it comes so you can buy like whatever color front cover you want and it comes with a little tea towel. It's only like $30.
Yeah.
But the tea towel, I think it's $50. But it's – and just the recipes, I've been flicking through them and I can't wait to cook from it because you can just tell each recipe is one that someone's really put a huge amount of work into. Mm. My favorite one that I read that jumped out at me that I thought you would hate, so I thought I will share.
Let's do it.
The very last one. Is it has been donated by someone called Nick Douse, and this is such a Brunswick, Thornbury, Melbourne-esque thing. It's
Here we
called
go.
Smoky Honey Old Fashioned. So this is a recipe for a drink. The back of it has some cocktails in it, and the blurb says, this old-fashioned edit was concocted for a honey harvest party. The ceremonial smoking of the honeycomb requires a bit of work in advance, you'll be prepped and ready to party when your friends arrive. In a perfect world, you'd have a beekeeper friend provide you with fresh comb and honey. And if you can access the bark of the prickly-leaved paperback tree for the smoking, that would be ideal. You can still find these trees on many of Melbourne's older suburban streets. The aroma is very special. I think that's great, and I love that to death, and I knew that you would hate that because you hate all that
stuff. I don't hate it. If it's good, whatever, man.
You hate that kind of stuff.
I'm not I know you like cookbooks that are like, and here's the story where this came. I'm like, I don't care. I just want a picture of the food and then how to make that particular food.
All right. Well, what I love about this recipe book as well is that I'll read you just like it has in sections. So it's got savory snacks at the start.
Okay.
Because I'm all into all about the snacks. And there's some really great easy ones. There's one for, where is it here? Tostitos, which are like kind of little.
I know what Tostitos are.
Yeah, bready, eggy, cheesy deliciousness. But then there's also a lot of Asian recipes too, like for ban bao. And then there's like recipes for crackers, homemade crackers that you can have with cheese. And fancy chutney and then just like really cool dips. They've got a recipe for dinosaur chips, which is basically just kale chips, but they call them dinosaur chips for their kids so they'll eat them. And Kewpie miso dip, which just looks delicious and super easy. Just chock full of great recipes and little tips for people because they've been made so many times. And there's even a recipe for a really good boiled egg and it gives you on it the time. So it's like 4 minutes for soft, 5 for semi, and 8 for hard, which I know sounds ridiculous, but I Google that so often.
I know. If you want 2 soft-boiled eggs, you do it 4.5 minutes.
All right. I know. You're very particular.
Yes,
and
yes, yes.
Anyway, look at this little dude with his breakfast taco. He's so cute. He's got a little mustache.
You showed me that
All
one
right.
before.
I know. Okay. That's super boring for anyone who can't see it. Anyway, go and Google her. It's Alice, O-E-H-R, and she's on Instagram. So go and follow her and just get cheered up by her beautiful illustrations.
Question, do I have to?
Yes.
All right then.
Yes.
Does that apply to everybody?
Demand it.
Does it apply to everybody listening to this?
You know what? Yeah.
You have to. If you're out there, you've got to listen.
I think you're all a bunch of sad sacks and you all need to go have some cheerful pictures in your
wow.
life. Also, it'll take you like 5 minutes. Look, there's one for a fancy salad and the lady's wearing a fancy hat with salad on it.
It's a salad hat.
It's a salad hat. Would you wear a salad hat?
That wouldn't go out of bloody place at the bloody Melbourne races, am I right, or whatever the fuck happens
no,
in
exactly.
November.
No, exactly. Then you could eat an old-fashioned honeycomb cocktail smoked
racing
from your
season.
My favourite part of that is such a hipster thing from Melbourne to say, if you happen to have a beekeeper friend, which I love when we all should because bees are special and we need to look after them for the environment. And that's a whole other thing.
If you don't have a beekeeper friend, do you really have any friends at all? That's what I always say.
Correct. Exactly. And we have a friend who has a beekeeper friend.
Do we?
I think we do. Friend of a friend.
Wow. We're nearly there.
We're nearly there. We've nearly made it.
Tell you this much though, I don't want any beekeeper friends because they're just going to be always telling me about bees. And I'm like, listen, I don't care about bees at all.
You know what? One day you will care about bees when we're in the dystopian future that you love so much.
And I'll be like, I should have learned more about bees as I'm in the desert running from like a petrol baron or whatever.
Correct. Exactly. Yeah. What was that Black Mirror episode where they had robotic bees? Terrifying.
Bees? Oh, the robotic bee one.
Yeah, terrifying. Yeah. Anyway, we actually really need bees. One of my students was really obsessed with them and I totally am there for it. It's very scary. But let's not go into the dark and doom and gloom that potentially is our future. Tell us something terrible that you have recommended. It's going to be terrible
this
and terrifying.
This is another
– And also, give me a drink. Give me it.
What
give
did
me
you
it.
Say to me? This is another series on Netflix which came out last Friday or something like that. It's called Midnight Mass, which is a supernatural horror series by Mike Flanagan, who I think – has been doing some of the best modern horror that there is. He's done Gerald's Game. He's done The Haunting of Bly Manor two seasons, which I haven't watched, but my brother, the one Mason doesn't like, for one, I know really, really likes it. He's done Doctor Sleep, which is the follow-up to The Shining, which is a terrific movie. Anyway, it stars Zach Guilford, Kate Siegel, Hamish Linklater, Rahul R. Kohli.
Hang on, I have a question.
Sure.
I know he's done lots of horror movies.
And shows.
Has he done... a horror movie where I wake up and there's no milk for my coffee.
Yeah, he did make that one.
All right, cool. I just want to check.
And then,
continue with your boring thing.
The solution to this problem that you jumped in with is just get some more milk because you live close to a shop and just go and get some.
But look, listeners will appreciate this. When you have tiny children and the only thing getting you out of bed in the morning is the coffee.
How much of this did you drink?
I drank a lot. It was very hot today.
Fuck.
I did a U. And for once, I did a U. So I should have drunk my water. You're always telling me to drink more water, and I never do, and I should.
You're too busy talking about eating bees or whatever.
Honeycomb, not bees. Oh. I'm going back to telling the listeners all about how some listeners will really appreciate this. When you are out of milk in the morning and all you want is your coffee in the morning at 6 o'clock in the morning and you know for a fact that you can't leave the house because you have tiny people and the shops aren't even open because it's a goddamn pandemic. What else is a woman to do? You know, what am I to do? Look, I can't have black coffee.
I was going to say you can have black coffee or here's something.
Or black tea.
Here's something.
Depressing.
You could organize,
it's a horror movie.
You could organize your life better. You're absolutely spiraling and you need to plan these things out, Claire. You've got to think about the future. You're always thinking about the present day. You're always thinking about bees. You know, you got to think about, you can't just think about the honey. You got to think about the milk as well. You know? That's what I've always been saying to you. And I never have that problem in the morning. I never run out of milk for my coffee in the morning.
Yeah, because you don't bloody drink coffee.
That's
and you also don't get up in the morning. You get up in the morning this morning like so chipper because like you have been working late, so you've been sleeping in. So I've been up for fucking 5 billion hours.
I've been
hours.
Playing and watching terrible James Bond movies.
Exactly, alone in the like silence. And then I've been up since like 5 a.m. or something. And then finally you bounce out of bed and you're like, good morning,
no,
how
I'm
are
not.
You?
I'm
and
like,
I'm so mad.
I'm like,
No, but the most recent times, because I haven't been waking you up, you've come down all fresh and sprightly.
And I feel fresh.
And I've just been like so internally mad at you, even though I totally understand why and it's been totally fine and I get it. But still.
Okay, so just to clarify, this is fine and not a personal grievance you're airing on this podcast.
It's really not.
Just to clarify, so this isn't a complaint. If anything, this is a you're commending me for my actions.
No, all I'm saying is.
Oh, the possum.
That's the dog.
Possum and the dog
that's
going
a possum.
At it.
Anyway,
bloody,
all
I
I'm
think
saying.
There's bloody. I think there's more of a bloody fight going on in here than out there.
No.
Anyways.
It's just the level of chipperness.
I understand that.
Which is crazy because this pandemic must be really getting to me because I'm the chipperest of chipper.
No, she's not. She's dark on the inside. People think I'm dark on the inside, which is true, but I'm also darker on the outside. So Claire's Scream the Duck. Which is why I think you'd actually like this show.
All right, continue. Tell me.
Midnight Mass. So it's, and I think you'd genuinely like this. It's about a small, isolated island community who's, so basically they're in a dying fishing town because there's been an oil tanker spill and it ruined their industry. There's like 100 people that live on this island, including a school. You know, it's in somewhere in America, somewhere terrible. But these divisions in the town are amplified by the return of, for one, a disgraced, of a disgraced young man and the arrival of a charismatic priest. So there is this like, there's a church community, but like nobody goes. It's like two old people. And you know that one woman who always runs like the church community and she's awful? You know what I'm talking about. Every church has one.
Definitely.
And so what happens is this, when this priest comes in, he kind of flips the whole thing on its head and he starts getting people coming back to church. And then you slowly realize that he starts to perform these miracles and you're seeing things in the town turn around. People are healing. Things are getting better. There's more positivity. The numbers are up in the church. Like, he's really raising spirits. Now, you're not going to watch this. I'm about to spoil what the reveal is, right?
Okay.
Because you couldn't handle the gore in this because there is a fair bit of gore. It's not crazy, but there's okay. enough.
Before you tell me, can I guess?
Sure.
Is he the sexy priest from Fleabag first up?
No. He is very good, though. He's excellent in this.
Is he like the sexy priest from Balakis Angel?
He's not sexy, Claire. He's regular-looking man.
You said it was like a sexy...
No, he's like charismatic.
Oh, but not sexy.
Yeah. So
how old is he?
He's probably early 40s, probably. Early to mid-40s. That can be sexy, Claire. Hey, if you're out there and you're early to mid-40s, I think
and
you're
a
sexy.
Priest.
And a priest. No, I don't think you're sexy if you're
a
priest.
No, I agree. Age is not is sexless. I mean...
age is sexless. Anyway... So it turns out.
Let me guess.
Are you gonna say another sexy priest thing? Because
no,
your
I
brain
promise.
Is frozen on that.
No,
so you
no,
can't
it's
think
not.
Of a second
no,
thing.
No, I'm thinking. Is he actually an alien?
No, but you're on the no, you're not on the right track actually.
Oh,
but okay. It is something supernatural. So there will be a time code below that Collings, who edits this, will put in. But basically, what he's done, when he was out in the world, this guy. He came across a cavern, and in that cavern he found what he believed to be an angel. It's like this winged creature, right, that he brought back to the island that's like its blood is healing people. But it's a vampire. It's a vampire, and he's putting like – and the healing properties and all the terrible things are about a vampire are going out into the community. So it's healing people, but also in turn you get like the vampiric kind of properties. And it's funny because like when you see this thing – well, like this is also clearly in a world where vampires like don't exist as like a concept, because otherwise you'd be like, that's a vampire, like straight up. But when you see this thing, it's like, that looks like a demon, if anything. Like it's got the sharp teeth, the bald head, and the huge like leathery skin wings. Ah. But it's also interesting because this town is dying because it's performing these miracles, people are perceiving it as an angel, and that's how they're accepting this thing. They're like, well, this is a blessing from God, but as someone watching it and some people in the town are like, that's clearly not an angel. Like, that's something else. Like, you know, and it's just – and the way it kind of, you know, spins from there is very, very interesting. So it's like how this community is transformed by this horrible monster, essentially, because they're so down in their luck and so broken. So, like, it incorporates, like, grief and faith and redemption and, like – the worst and best of humanity. And one of the characters, the sheriff of the town or the officer, he's a Muslim and he's done so much in his life to kind of fit in because he went into the police force because of 9/11 and he wanted to prove that not every Muslim is like this, right? And so he was always pushing against that, like this stereotype that he was a bad person. But every time he's gone to do something, he's kind of got slapped back, you know, for him reaching out and being like, I'm not a terrible person. And it's interesting having someone like that on the island and the people who still don't trust him, even though he's the one being like, something is obviously like wrong here. Yeah. They're like, you know, you're just a non-believer and this
so
and
does
that.
So does the vampire turn them into vampires? Like, because isn't that normally what happens?
Well, it's like
you
a
get
slow,
bitten and then you become a vampire.
Again, to spoil it, but it's like the priest – I guess I'm just spoiling all of this at this point. So, again, skip ahead because there's more things in it. But the priest is actually the old priest from the town who's like 90 years old. He came across the vampire it bit him, made him young again. And then he brought the vampire back to be like, it made me young again. I can use this in the town to heal people and all of these kinds of things. So he's got this misguided belief that, again, this thing has been sent by God for me to spread the good word. And people are like, this guy's Jesus or whatever and all these kind of things. And it just spirals horribly.
But does he end up turning into a vampire?
Well, not in the same way that, like, that thing is. Because the thing, the creature is like an old school, like, Nosferatu, like, demon-looking thing. Like, you see it and it's like, that's very upsetting.
But do people start biting each other, though?
It gets to that point where, you know, it's...
Things start to turn.
And again, because it's isolated, it's very bittersweet and kind of like, and like life affirming for some people, and other people have the revelation that maybe they're terrible people and just were looking for excuse to ostracize people and et cetera. And just Mike Flanagan, he's terrific. He's just been doing so much good stuff. He's like what Stephen King kind of was to like writing. I feel like, and he has adapted some Stephen King stuff. What he's like doing in the modern day, like taking these ideas and presenting them in really interesting, like upsetting and like challenging ways. And it's also like very like at the same time commercially viable and like very like the cast is really interesting and the performances are great. Again, another thing that I loved it. It was really terrific. And I'm hoping that I'll watch anything this guy does. Like he's just he doesn't miss. Yeah. So
all right. I'm not going to watch that.
No, I think if it didn't have the gore and all that, I think you could have handled it.
You know what? Actually, it does sound really fascinating.
Yeah.
It does sound like something – because I do like that kind of supernatural stuff.
Mm.
I just can't handle too much gore at the moment. Yeah. Because even though I'll watch a British crime show.
Sure.
But there's very little like
and there's some stuff like, in there. There's some like scares in it and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's the tension, I think.
And the people who, like, rise to prominence in the show you wouldn't necessarily expect. Like, I was messaging my brother about it and I'm like, I think this person's going to do this, this and this. And it kind of went a different direction than what I thought, which I always appreciate, you know, being surprised.
Yeah, so it's got, like, a satisfying ending.
Yeah, and one of the lead guys is one of the lead guys from Friday Night Lights, which was a show that you
loved.
Oh,
I love Friday Night Lights. Oh, maybe I should have watched this, but now you've spoiled it.
There's still plenty in there for you to see. Like, I haven't spoiled all of it, but I...
Maybe I'll give it a burl.
Hope that you do.
All righty.
If you haven't.
All righty. Well...
Midnight Mass.
Midnight Mass. Okay, where is it on?
Netflix. I was going to save that one because in a month we have to do our Halloween episode.
I know, I was going to say that sounds perfect for Halloween.
I've got plenty of Halloween stuff in the can. You've got to start thinking about it now though, Claire.
You do. This is true.
You do.
I do. I know, but I don't want to watch any spooky things.
You got to have a Halloween special.
All right, okay.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right. Now, if you want to recommend us some stuff, we would love you to recommend
stuff. I do that every week. I don't need to recommend anything.
Yeah, well, I want something good.
Oh.
Something less spooky. No, you can write in to the show at suggestiblepod@gmail.com. Thank you again to everyone who's written in about their Lego. Much appreciated. And just thanks to everyone who has been writing in general. We really appreciate it. All right, so I have got a recommendation email from a wonderful Bob Poulos. Okay, he has also sent in his Lego room. Where should I put these photos of the Lego rooms?
Instagram, I guess. Could there be a suggestible pod Instagram?
I'm going to do it. I have suggestible pod at suggestible pod on Instagram. I will do that this afternoon. And it will go out so you can go and have a look at them all. This one is from Bob, though. Love the podcast. And by coincidence, I am building the Lego UCS Millennium Falcon.
Oh, my God.
I happen to enjoy sorting Lego just as much as building. I was slightly sad when the knolling was complete and I had to start building. I deal with anxiety and a severe back injury, and Lego may be one of the best stress relievers ever. Be safe, Bob from New Jersey.
That thing is 7,500 pieces and costs $1,300. So disconnected.
Look at that.
My God, look at that.
Look at this
Lego
room.
What's he sorting by there? What's he up to?
I know. He's got it all in tiny little kind of compartments and he's got, yeah, this is an amazing Lego room. Oh, my goodness.
My God,
I'm definitely
going to
share
huge.
Wow. It's really impressive, actually. My goodness. And actually, I have one other email just to for a public service announcement. I don't know if you remember from last week, we got hit by an earthquake.
Yeah.
Last week.
I remember.
Among all the things. And the wonderful Rosa Spicer has written in with some advice for earthquakes.
I love earthquake advice.
I know. Hi, Claire and James. I've lived in areas where earthquake safety is a big deal for most of my life, the west coast of the United States. Yeah, because we just don't get earthquakes at all. And I'm writing to correct some information on what to do during an earthquake that you discussed in your latest episode.
Please, let's do it.
In most situations, you should drop, cover, and hold on. Ooh. So to correct some specific misconceptions you stated, if you are inside during an earthquake, absolutely stay inside.
Okay.
If you are able, lie down next to or under a heavy piece of furniture, like a bed or dresser.
Yep.
Wow. Also in general, do not stand in a doorway. If you are outside, stay outside and move away from buildings.
Makes sense.
After the shaking stops, you should evacuate only if the building or area around you is unsafe. This includes heading for higher ground on foot if you are near the ocean or other large body
of
water.
Because of tidal waves?
Yes.
Tidal waves, not tidal waves.
Yeah. Tsunamis, isn't that what they're called? Additionally, here are some links to US and Australian government sources on how to prepare for and what to do during an earthquake. These resources provide information for what to do wherever
you
are.
So why don't you stand in a doorway?
Yeah, I'm wondering why that is. Thanks, Ross. This is actually, he also said, PS, I think your show is pretty great. We think you're pretty great, mate.
I appreciate your earthquake advice.
Correct, me too. I'm not quite sure why. Maybe in case the door collapses or something.
Yeah, fair enough.
So you should stay outside and move away from buildings if you're outside or under like a heavy piece of furniture and stay inside. That makes sense because there was some like falling debris and things that popped around.
I think it's
in
pronounced
Melbourne.
Debris, isn't it?
Debris. I think you have to say it like that. Debris. Let me say more. That's really fun. Debris.
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 Oh, it's
anyway,
the debris.
Debris. Anyway, we are very lucky to be in a country where earthquake safety is not top of mind, and also we haven't had anyone be seriously injured or anything from an earthquake.
Yet.
However, thank you so much, and thank you, Rosa. You're a legend.
Did you know Rosa? Was that the name? Rosa.
Rosa, correct.
Rosa. That you can actually review the show. I mean, I'm not just talking to Rosa. I'm talking to everybody who's listening to this. You can go in app and you can go, hey, you can just go clickety-clack, I'm going to review this podcast. You can say to yourself. This one is from Pat McAfee Show 2.0 review, who says, bonding time. I'm a long-time listener of James's most successful podcast and decided one day to try this out while driving with my wife. My wife, generally our podcast tastes don't converge much, but I'm happy to report that she enjoyed the show just as much as I did. Now we have another thing to enjoy sharing together, and I can't thank you two enough. We both will be looking forward to this every week for the foreseeable future. Foreseeable is good, but like if he was like forever, indefinite, infinite futures, that would be much more appealing.
Even
isn't it going to be weird that we're going to be dead one day and these are still going to be out there?
I would have thought
like even if they're wiped off the internet, like somebody will probably have one of these on like an old hard drive somewhere.
Some of the things I've said, James, I'm terrified.
Doesn't matter. It'd be
good
dead,
God.
Mate.
I know. Well, hello if you're listening to us in multiple dimensions.
Yeah, what's up?
Oh, hello.
How's the future?
Hello. Pretty much like now.
How's your dumb
running
flying
out of milk
cars,
for the coffee?
Dumbass.
I know. Hoverboards. You've always wanted a hoverboard, haven't you?
Nah, too old now.
What?
Yeah.
Never too old. Never say never. Look, even geriatrics can
listen,
ride skateboards.
Listen, it's true, but we are in the era of dads my age busting out skateboards again. You know what I mean? We're hit that point
in
time.
I'm loving it. I'm loving it.
So I'm not going to learn to skate when I'm 38 years old.
You have a closed mindset. You need to open it. You need to open your mind.
Why don't you skate then? Why don't you jump on a skateboard and blow your knee out?
No, I'm learning to surf. Instead,
you know what I'm gonna do,
and I'm gonna learn to kayak. I've been researching kayaks. I'm gonna learn to kayak down the river because we don't live near the ocean. I'm missing the ocean, so instead, I'm gonna kayak
You're gonna
down the
kayak
river.
Down a dirty brown river.
No, it's not a dirty brown river. It's a beautiful river.
Okay.
It's a lovely river. Oh, you're such a bloody mooch.
So you want me to buy a skateboard? Do you?
No, I want to buy a kayak.
Do you want me to buy a skateboard?
Not particularly. I don't know. Do what you want. Whatever floats your boat, mate.
My boat is not buying a skateboard.
Well, you're the one that brought up the skateboarding. I feel like this is the thing where you keep saying you're going to grow your hair long and get a man bun.
I'm going to grow my hair long and I'm going to get a man bun. And you're going to love it. And a skateboard.
I feel like none of these things are going to happen, listeners.
It's probably true.
They're definitely not. Anywho, that's it.
All right. See you guys next week.
Bye.
Or the foreseeable future.
And thank you to Raw Collings for editing this episode.
And I'm sorry, Raw Collings, for spoiling Midnight Mass for you and you had to listen to that.
I know, you've wrecked it for him.
But it's Claire's fault because she didn't want to watch it with me.
What? Did you ask me?
Yeah, I was like, we should watch this show. It's called Midnight Mass.
Oh, but you probably picked a time when I was like at the end of the day.
I was making that up. The conversation didn't happen. Bye, everybody.
Bye. I had to watch the submarine show.
No one cares about your submarine show. You told me it didn't
murder
even.
Murder on the show.
You told me it didn't even end very nicely. Yeah, it didn't end that well.
Well, I still enjoyed it.
Yeah.
British murders on a submarine. Okay, bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.